I was thinking a few weeks ago, how do we worship God? Was I doing it correctly? Could I improve on the way that I was doing it? So what I did, I went in my computer and I typed in the word worship for the New Testament. It pulls up every verse in the Bible that has a word worship in it. And then I wanted to see if I was worshiping properly. Turn to John 4:23. And of the list of verses that I had, here was the one that hit my eye the most. But the hour is going to come, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, while I was preparing this sermon, working on that, in fact, this whole sermon is going to be around that one verse. Mr. Swaggerty was given a sermon. Turn to John 17. And he was quoting verse 2. He said, as thou hast given the power over all flesh, all that he should have eternal life. And his point of reading this was, how do you have eternal life? That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life. This is what his sermon was about. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Well, this verse before says, true worshipers, tells how the true worshipers will worship God. And then I've seen this verse, well, if you want eternal life, you have to know the true God. Now, chapter 17 here, back years ago in the church, Mr. Armstrong quoted, this is the real Lord's Prayer. You know, the other prayer that we're supposed to follow is how to follow it. And here's what it starts. These words spoke Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes into heaven, and he said, Father, the hour is come to glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. So Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, as thou, God, the Father, has given him power over all flesh. So God the Father gives the power. He's the head one. He gives power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So God is going to give eternal life to as many as he has given to Jesus. And this is life eternal, in verse 4, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now go back to John 4, and we'll look at that verse. And it says, again, the hour is going to come, and now is when you shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father seeketh such to worship him. There's three things that's brought out here. This verse tells us that true worshipers will be worshiping the Father. Number two, it tells us how we're going to be worshiping in spirit and in truth. And the third, it says the Father is searching out those to worship him. So God is searching out, from the time of Adam till Christ comes again, those he is going to call out of this world, and they're going to suffer persecution sooner or later by what they believe. So he's looking over who he believes will worship him in truth, or believe the Bible is literal. That's another part of it. You have to believe the Bible is literal, and that God will reveal this to you. And you have to believe it's inspired. Now, after he decides this, what will he do? Turn to John. John's got a lot of scriptures in it. John 6:44. And he says here, no man can come to me, this is Jesus talking, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So Jesus says, you can't come to Jesus unless the Father draws you to him. Look at verse 65. He repeats it. And he said, therefore say I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of the Father. So if you think you found Jesus, you're mistaken. God chose you, called you, and draws you to Jesus Christ. Now, why didn't he draw you to himself? Well, it's because mankind has been cut off from God the Father since creation. Now, a lot of people say, well, we worship God in the Old Testament. And I had these verses written down. It's not true. I can't quote them to you now. But there's three verses in the New Testament that says Jesus was the God of the Old Testament. And he created the world. And he's the one that do it through the power of God. So he couldn't call you to him himself. He had to call you through Jesus Christ. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 5. And we'll prove this point here. Because you shouldn't believe anything unless you can prove it from the Bible. And if you can't prove it from the Bible, then you need to come to me or the guy that quoted it, and we should be able to prove it from the Bible. Because it says in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4, we're to live by every word of God. And it's interesting, Paul and them that preached Jesus Christ was preached from the Old Testament. Because they didn't have a New Testament. They had to be preached from the Old Testament. But look at verse 8. God commandeth, that's chapter 5, verse 8 in Romans, God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we had to have somebody come along and help us to get salvation. In verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So being justified, he shed his blood to wipe away our sins, to make us holy at that particular time. And in verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So you're reconciled to God the Father by the death of his son. And then he says, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we're saved by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But God had to call you. God had to draw you to him. And when Christ died, he had to send Christ here first, live a life with no sin, pay the penalty so we all can have. And it does say all. There's many verses that said Jesus Christ came. He didn't come to judge the world. He came to save the world. Now, I didn't say that verse didn't say he came to save you and me. It says he came to save the world. So he didn't come to judge it at that time. When Christ comes back, that the sermonette was about, he's going to come to judge. And he's going to look and see who he has called and reconciled to himself. So God now, Jesus died and reconciled us to him. Then what does God have to do? Turn to Luke 24 and verse 44. So after God calls you to Jesus Christ, then he said, and he said unto them in verse 44, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was with you. This is Jesus talking now. That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, for some of you that might not know, the Old Testament is broke down into the law of the prophets and the Psalms. So in there, in them three booklets, that's what's written by Jesus Christ. All these things that were written in the Old Testament will happen. Then look at verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. So if we are to understand the Scripture, we have to pray to God to open our eyes. Because if you look at the world, we got one Bible, 500 Protestant religions. We got all other type of worldly religions. God has to open your eyes, and you have to say that you are going to surrender to him. Now, here, I'm going to bring out a particular thing. When I first started reading in this church 44 years ago, reading the literature, it said you couldn't understand without the Holy Spirit. Then pretty soon it said you had to be baptized to have the Holy Spirit. And I had this struggle. I'm not baptized. How do I understand it? And I didn't know about this verse. And it's the one that I quote all the time anymore. He has to open your eyes to understand before he gives you the Holy Spirit. And I'll read a verse later on. It says, right now, when he opens your eyes, he is with you. But then when you're baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, then he is in you. But right now, God opens your eyes, And he's with us at that time, and then he'll finally be in you. Now that we're reconciled to him, our eyes are open, we need to worship him in spirit. If we go back to John 4:43, how do you worship God? In spirit and in truth. But the Bible says we're carnal. Well, how do we do that? Turn to Romans 7 and verse 14. Let's see if that's what the Bible says. Romans 7 and verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual. The Ten Commandments is spiritual. Now, if you want to read up in verse 7, it says, is the law sin? God forbid. I had not known the law, but I had, except for lust. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. One of the Ten Commandments tells you not to covet. These laws are spiritual. But Paul says, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So he was carnal. He didn't have God's Holy Spirit. Now, what does the word carnal mean? If you look it up, it means without God's Spirit. It means you don't have the Spirit of God. You do have the Spirit of man. In verse chapter 8, at verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Our mind does not want to keep the Ten Commandments. When I was told to close my business on the Sabbath, on Saturday, it only took me a year. And about every 3 months, the minister would call me and say, you closed your business yet? I said, no. And everybody said, and when I told him I was going to do it, it's business suicide to close your business on Saturday. I was at a big convention once, and this one guy there, he said, what is your goal? I said, I'd like to do $1 million in volume. He said, what do you do now? And I told him. And he sat down, he took notes, and he says, open on Saturday, and you will do your million in volume. And this guy really knew his mathematics. I said, no, I don't want to open on Saturday. But these notes are not in my sermon, but I'm going to tell you about this. We talked to this guy a lot, and he owned furniture store. He owned all kind of businesses. He had apartments, and he about owned the city. And you know what discouraged him? He said he got up in an airplane, and when he looked down, and he seed all that land, and he didn't own it. And I said, you know what encourages me? When I get up in an airplane and I look down, one of these days, I'm going to inherit the earth. I'm going to own it all. No, with Jesus Christ, under Jesus Christ, with you, I hope. But this is true. This is 30 years ago or so, and with all that he owned, he still got discouraged when he got up in an airplane. That's the only time I really rejoice. I look down and say, oh, one of these days I'm going to inherit that with Jesus Christ. And there's verses that says that. Now, here it says the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. And in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Without the Holy Spirit, go into verse 9 and he will explain that. But you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So we got to want God's Holy Spirit to change our mind. The way to do that, if you doubt me, get on your knees and start praying to God to show you the truth. And I'm also going to bring out here to show you, and I get amazed at what's happening sometime with people that's been in the church for years and then leave. Maybe there's a persecution that we're talking about in the sermonette. It can come from your family. For some of you that don't know me, my wife's not in the church. She's the one that thinks I'm a religious nut. No, we really love each other, and she supports me completely. But it's hard for her to not do anything on Saturday. Of course, as we get a little older, she's doing less and less. But it says you got to have the Holy Spirit. In the flesh, it says in verse 8, it cannot please God. The Spirit has to dwell in you. The carnal mind is death, if you go back to verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is peace. Now, Adam and Eve was told to choose of the tree. When they took the wrong tree, said the penalty will be death. And it's not heaven, it's death. And I got a guy that used to work for me and talk religion all the time, and he'd talk about it, and I said, the gift of God is eternal life. But what is the penalty? The gift of God is eternal life, but death is the penalty. He knew all the verses, but we have to, once you believe the verse, then you have to start proving these things. And you can't do it out without yourself unless God calls you and shows you. Now, look at in Romans 7:12. The law is holy, the commandment's holy, it's just, and it's good. All 10 of them. Now, there's far more to the 10 commandments than just living by the letter of the law. In Matthew, it says, don't commit adultery. And he said, I'm telling you, don't even look at another woman lustfully. Well, if you don't look, you don't commit. So you look at your wife, and you love your wife, and you stay with your wife. Then what's the other one? And this we can get all of you here. The Old Testament says, don't kill. But if you get angry, you've already done it in your heart. Now, you can get upset, but we're talking about real anger. Then you are actually committing a murder. So if you don't get angry, you're not going to murder anybody. And you're not going to get in trouble. Now, verse 14 again there in 7 says, the law is spiritual. Now, the question is, with our carnal mind, we can't worship him in spirit. But it says we have to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So we need God's spirit to keep the spiritual law, which it says here the law is spiritual, and to worship him in spirit. Now, how does the Holy Spirit help you? What can we learn from it if we have it? Turn to 2 Corinthians 2. No, I'm going to change that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It said, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. It's never entered into our minds until we read this book what God has prepared. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. The things that God has provided for us, and during about the sermonette, the things that we know what God has revealed to us is going to help you when persecution comes and what you're going to have to do to follow the Word of God. Oh, by the way, for some of you, I've been in business since 1955. I did prosper. I'm the only TV shop still left in Anderson, Indiana, owned and by an independent. I drove out Circuit City. I drove out Rex. I haven't got rid of Greg's yet. He's been a stubborn one. So, but he hadn't got rid of me either. So do you pay the penalty by keeping the Sabbath and closing? The answer is no. Not if you're living by the rest of God's word. God inspires you and he'll prosper you. But you have to be following his laws. Now, in verse 11, for what man knows is the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him. The difference between us and an animal is we have a spirit of man in our mind. Animals follow instinct. We are raised with this spirit. We can go to the moon, land people on the moon. I've got a guy who works for me. He says he doesn't believe in God. I said, the world is mathematically perfect. You can't send a man to the moon. God has to show you how to get through that atmosphere and get up there. And that moon, you have to know where it is, and you have to get there in the right time. Mathematically perfect. If you don't want to believe what I believe, it's easy to prove God. God said every animal was made after his kind, and we were made after the likeness and the image of God. So here it says, there is a spirit in man that teaches us what we know. And when do we know it? It says in the Bible, before Christ come, knowledge will increase. Well, I look at my life, radio was there before I knew about it. Television, knowledge will increase. Computers, knowledge will increase. Go to the moon, knowledge will increase. Now you can go up and find out anything you want. There isn't any knowledge. If I want to know worship, I typed it in. One guy asked me the other day, what does a steeple represent on another church? I just type it in. I used to have encyclopedias all over. I'd have to get all kind of books out to do something. You young people can find out. Just go to your computer, type it in. Knowledge has increased. And I also told my son this the other day, every 10 years we thought it was time for Christ to come. Knowledge has increased. I mean, really increase. Now we got airplanes. Now, you know, but it, now, I don't know how you can get more knowledge to increase than now, but we'll wait and see, because Christ said knowledge will increase before he returns to rule this world. So here it says, the spirit, you have that spirit in man. Man has that spirit that he can think and develop. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but by the Spirit of God. Men do not know what God is. They've been taught a lot of things, and I'm going to show you later on some things that God will show you. But you've got to have the Spirit of God. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. So we got another spirit out. We got the spirit of man, helps us to think. And here it says, we have not received the spirit of the world, which is different from the spirit which is of God. So there's another spirit out there wanting you to go the wrong direction. That we might know the things which are freely given to us. When you read the book and God opens your eyes and he calls you, he's going to give things that are freely given to you. You didn't earn them. Just because you decided to do it and you read the book, I didn't earn this. God had to show it to me. And I keep asking God, be sure that you don't get puffed up with what you know. You know, God will keep you humble. I'll guarantee you that. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Spirit teaches, commanding spiritual things with spiritual. So if you're going to understand, you have to ask God to help you. But the natural man, in verse 14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man does not know, for they are foolishness unto him. This young man that I'm talking about, he's 24 years old. He probably thinks things are foolishness unto him. But he's beginning to get a little idea. I told him the other day, I said, see, you know, things don't look too good now. And you, I don't know if you believe this or not, but I'm the oldest guy in my business. And I tell all the rest of them, they're in their some 40s and 50s, and he's 24. I said, I got an advantage over all you. I'm going to die. They all know what's going on. They all see the troubles that's in the world. This young man sees that he can't go out and own a home like I could in my day. Times are not in the beneficial of the young people. But I'm going to die. You're the one that's going to have to live through this. And something that we created, they want to blame our generation, but we're all part of it because we're carnal-minded and we don't understand to live by God's laws. Here it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's the only way that you can know them. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he letteth judge no man. And then in verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? For we have the mind of Christ. So when you learn God's word, and I get ready to do something, there'll be things coming in my mind to tell me that I shouldn't do it. The other day, I charged a guy tax on something in the business. You're not supposed to tax install. And I added it all together, and I did that. And this young man at 24 years old said, when he put it in the computer, he said, you overcharged him $7. You're not supposed to charge on install. I said, what do you want me to do? You want me to figure that I can change the figures and put it under that and keep it? And I said, no, just when we take the set out there, just put the $7 in an envelope and take it back. And he said, if you didn't do that, you would be stealing and lying. That's true. So we're going to get judged by 24-year, you say you're religious, people are going to look at you and judge you by what you do. And once you get in business, you can get tempted a lot to do things that are wrong. But when you close it on the Sabbath and you're still prosperous, you're still doing that. Doesn't relieve the temptation. You still have trial. God whispers in your ear, don't do that. So you have to learn and live by it. Now, we have the mind of Christ. And that's what. Now, how do we get the Spirit? Well, Luke 24, 44, 45 said he opened your eyes. So you don't have the Spirit yet, but the Spirit is with you. Now, if you turn to Acts chapter 2, in verse 38. Well, the last part of verse 37, you just read the last sentence, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent of your sins. That means to change. If you used to lie or steal, try to quit doing it. Repent of your sins and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, because when he died and his blood washed your sins away, you were reconciled back to God, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now there again, I didn't earn it. Even though I repent and I strive and I try, I'm not doing it like I should. If I repent and be baptized, it's a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. It's nothing that I earn. Now, if you looked over in chapter 5, verse 29 and 32. Verse 29 says, Peter said, and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So we have to decide this is what we're going to obey. We're going to keep the Ten Commandments. And the fourth one happens to be the Sabbath. Verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so who is also the Holy Spirit, who God has given to them that obey him. You have got to begin to want to obey God. And I can tell you from my life experience, God's laws are for your benefit. I told this young guy who worked for me, I'm not telling you to go to church. Live by the Ten Commandments and you'll be blessed by it. And then he is getting an example. He has to live by them because he can't lie in my business to him. Or I'll tell him about it. But he tells me about it too. You can't lie. So all of his laws will bring you happiness. Now, again, sometimes when there's certain laws, I have people come in and say their TV was hit by lightning, and I look it up and say, no, it wasn't. I said, well, they want their insurance to cover it. And I said, well, it wasn't hit by lightning. You got a mechanical failure. Well, I paid insurance for 20 years. They owe me this. Well, I still can't do it. Now, I could make more money if I just say yes and run the bill up and charge the insurance companies. And I could give you another story about that. It's blessed me. In fact, I will. My business burned down at one time. Kids playing with matches caught a box on fire at back. Burned my business down. And when the insurance man came in, he said, how many tubes did you lose? And for some of you, tubes used to be in television sets. Before the transistors and the chips and all these things that you carry in your pocket. He said, how many of those tubes are bad? I said, I don't know. I have no way of telling. He said, 100%? And I said, no, I've used some of them. And he said, 75%? And I said, I don't know. And he said, we'll give you 75%. And the reason he did it is because when I covered insurance, I forgot to cover furniture. I covered TVs and everything else, but I forgot to cover the furniture. So I was going to have to pay for this furniture that was lost. He did that because he said he knew that whenever he was one of the head guys at the all insurance companies went through this one company to settle them. He knew that I wasn't cheating him, because I never charged him any more than I would a regular customer where other people run the bills up. So he gave me, I think it was $10,000 worth of tubes there or something. He gave me $7,500 too. I didn't find any of them bad. They was wet, but none of them were bad. But he's the one that made the decision. And that helped me to pay for the furniture that I didn't cover. So you're blessed in many ways, and sometimes you don't see it until afterwards. So how do we get the Spirit? We have to be repent of our sins, be baptized, and obey God. Matthew 4:4, only thing it tells you to do is live by every word of God. Every word of God. But how do we worship him in truth? Here it says we need the Holy Spirit. Turn to John 17:17. Remember the first verse that said you worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father is seeking who he wants to follow him, which tells you he's not calling everybody now. And when he says, I didn't come to judge the world, I come to save the world, shows you he wants to save everybody. And our holy days that we keep explain that. And all of you keep them, or most of you do. So that will be something that you can look back to. John 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. thy word is truth. Here's the truth. I might not get done with this sermon yet for throwing all these things in. But another guy who works for me, he did a lot of research in religion. And he told me that the Catholic Church now is starting to take all these symbols and statues and everything out. Now, he is a Catholic, or he was. And he asked me, do we have a cross or do anything? I said, no. And he said, well, you worship the Bible. Huh? And I told him, well, I guess you're right. And then I said, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became Jesus Christ. And this is the Word in print. So I worship the Bible, so I'm worshiping Jesus Christ in print. And I thank God for giving me that answer, because a lot of times we say things and we have to come up with an answer with it. John 17:17 says, the Spirit is truth. Now I'm going to read you some scriptures here. I might not turn to all of them, but you can, and write them down. In John 8:44, he asks them, why do you not understand? Because you don't hear his words. You don't understand because you're not listening to his words. You are of your father, the devil. When you lie and you do things, you're following your father, the devil. Now, this is God saying this, not me. It says, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When we speaketh a lie, we speak he his own, for he is a liar, and he is a father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. So a lot of people will not believe me on what I say, because I'm telling them the truth, but I'm telling it what's from the Bible. Now John 14:17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So don't be surprised when you start talking religion and people don't want to listen to you or believe you. The world cannot receive it. God's not trying to save the world at this time. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. They don't see him, they don't know him. It says, but you know him. If you have been reading your book, and different people were different stages, you've been in the church 44 years, I should be know the book, and being a minister and speaking, I should know the book, and I should be trying to live better. That doesn't mean that some people are not living better than me. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you. And it's interesting, and the next says, and shall be in you. So when he opens your eyes, God is dwelling with you. But when he gives you the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus Christ living in you. It's not me living, it's Christ living in me. In John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father. Notice how much God's always going back to the Father. I will send you this Holy Spirit. I will send you this Comforter from the Father. Jesus created the world through the power of Jesus Christ. And he did everything he wanted him to do. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. So we do. Jesus is God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became God. So there's God the Father and the Son who created man. And he just proceeds from the Father, which testifies of me. In John 16:7, these are all in John. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, if it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, I'll send a Comforter come to you. And if I don't depart, I will depart, and I'll send him to you. John 16:13. Howbeit he, the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, comes to you, he will guide you into all truth. So after you have it, God starts working with you, he'll keep guiding you to all truth. But when will he quit doing it? When you quit obeying. You know, when God shows you something, and you know it, and you decide not to do it, he might not decide to show you anymore. So you have to grow spiritually. It says, he who overcomes until the end shall be saved. I got to overcome until I die or Christ comes. Since the odds are I'm going to die earlier, before he comes, the rest of you are the ones that's in trouble, not me. But I still got to do it until that time. Howbeit, in verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whoever shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. God, reading this Bible, he will show you things to come. Our church has preached years ago when I came into it that the United States was going to go into a depression if they don't start living by God's laws. And when I was young, I lived by God's laws and didn't know it. I mean, when you got on the bus, and you better get up for an elder woman, or you'd be disrespectful. You know, I live by God's laws because you're supposed to. It says, when a gray-headed man walks in, all supposed to get up. Some of you haven't read that, because when I walked in, you didn't get up. But I didn't want you to either. But we lived by God's laws back when I was young, because everybody did. Do you realize that a man could be not elected president if he got a divorce and remarried? We wouldn't even consider him. Would we now? You bet we would. And in fact, we wouldn't even vote a Catholic in till Kennedy come along. Because when the people come over here to solve this world, they came and they wanted out of religion, out from underneath the religion that told them what to do. They would not even elect a Catholic. But Dan Kennedy come along, and he had the personality, and he did a lot of good, and he had the knowledge, and he was elected and shot. But there's things back in my day, we kept the law, and I didn't even go to church. When they whipped me at school, I got whipped at home. And today, they defend it. They didn't defend it back then. I got whipped at school, and I got whipped at home. And some of you know this. When I was in junior high, there was a group of guys that met downstairs under a stairway in the basement. And some of you won't know what it was, but they was looking at honorary books. Honorary book is a little book about that big, about 7 pages, and showed naked women and so forth. I finally went down there one time. They caught me and took me to jail. Now, you can imagine that. 14 years old in junior high, I went to jail for looking at an honorary book down in the basement with 4 or 5 other guys. Now, all the other guys kept going. Now I look back and say, God didn't want me to do those things. Because he didn't take them to jail till I got there. And my dad had to come and get me. Now, I tell this to this 24-year-old fellow. He can't imagine that. I mean, he could pull up his little iPod or computer or what he's got now and see anything he wants to. You know, these are not in my notes. I don't know where I go from here. But anyway, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. Verse 17, sanctify thy through truth. And for thy sake, verse 19, for their sakes I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified in truth. Okay, now, how do we worship him in truth? We know we have to have the Holy Spirit, or at least the Holy Spirit leading us, or God be with us. Here is a list of things which the world doesn't see, which the Spirit of truth has revealed to us. Now, I had done this in August the 15th of 2010. How do I know who is preaching the real Jesus of the Bible? I was wondering on myself, how do I know I'm still doing this right? How could I show somebody else? Well, turn to 2 Corinthians 11. I'm supposed to have that marked so I can get there ahead of you people. But I apparently didn't mark 2 Corinthians 11. Okay. In verse 3, but I fear lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, your mind should not be corrupted over the simplicity that is in Christ. So Christ is really simple if we follow it, but we don't do that. There's 500 different religions. Everyone thinks there's a different way to do something. They don't want to surrender together. Verse 4, if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, so that can be done, whom have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received. And remember, I read back earlier, it says there's a spirit in the world. We're not following the spirit in the world. No, we're following the Spirit of God. When you have not received another gospel, which you have not received, you might well bear with them. Now, who would be doing this? Look at verse 13. For whoever is preaching another Jesus, preaching another gospel, and another spirit, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. There is people that transform themselves into the apostles of Christ, and they teach another Jesus, they teach another gospel, and they have another spirit leading them. And verse 14, and no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan exists. A lot of, you know, today we don't think Satan exists, but he does. And verse 50, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So we see that we have to be sure we're following the real Jesus. Did he keep Sunday or did he keep Saturday? And you can prove what he did. Now, in verse 2, they preach born again in the world. But we're not born again until we are resurrected. And to show you that, turn to John 3. Boy, John's loaded, isn't he? John 3:3. And when I said loaded, you got to be careful how you take that. John 3:3. And Jesus answered and said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you got to know what the kingdom of God is. If you want to know, you can read Daniel 2, that Christ is going to come and smash all the nations, set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. When Christ comes and sets up the kingdom, he says you can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Verse 5, truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So it's something you can't see unless you have the Spirit, and you can't enter it unless you have the Spirit. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now some say that when you're baptized, you're born again. But we'll see if that's true here. Look at verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot see whence it come, and you cannot see whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Well, can you see me? I'm not born of the Spirit yet. If you can see me, it says, when you're born of the Spirit, you'll be like the wind. It can come and go, and you can't see it, but you'll be a spirit being, and they won't see it. And then in verse 13, it's just another one. No man has ascended to heaven, but he that come down from heaven. So nobody's went to heaven yet. But here is different things that I'm showing you that I did not believe until I started searching the Bible and said I wanted to do it. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:50, I'm just going to read that. Now, this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. You have to be spirit to inherit the kingdom of God. So it says, when you're born again, you will see the kingdom, you will enter the kingdom, you will inherit the kingdom, and you'll be like the wind. You can show up. Remember when Jesus was crucified and he was walking along beside his disciples and they didn't know who he was. So you can show up as a human being. Remember they put your hand in his side? He's a spirit being. He walked through walls. You're going to be a spirit being. You're going to be a son of God. These are the things that the Spirit opens your eyes. The holy days. God has to open your eyes and you have to study them and know what they mean. Passover represents Christ's sacrifice. Pentecost represents the Spirit coming. The trumpets represents Christ returning and ruling the earth. Atonement represents Satan being bound. Feast of Tabernacles represents a 1,000-year reign by Jesus Christ and his resurrected beings. And then the last great day represents the rest of the dead are going to be rose up. That's when I'm going to see my dad and my mother. I don't worry about it. I got one person I got to worry about. I can't change you. God can change you if he opens your eyes to the Scripture. only person I can change is me. And the way I do that is Romans 12. Give this body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is my reasonable service. And how do you do that? By renewing the mind. By reading this book and learning and asking God to show you what his laws are, how he wants you to live, surrender to his will, and to try and sort of answer the question in the sermonette, what's going to keep you when somebody's persecuting you? You know, there's people today that leave the church, been in the church as long as I have, and they turn around and don't see it. You've got to be following, and you better know what this book says and follow it. Here's another one. They say Sunday is the day of the worship. The Bible says Saturday. Jesus said he'd be in the grave 3 days and three nights. It's the only sign he's going to give you. This is in, if you want to write it down, I think it's Matthew 20:12-39. The only sign he's going to give you, he's going to be in, as a sign of Jonah, he's going to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. Now, if you want to do a little mathematics, and you say that Christ is crucified on Friday and resurrected on Sunday, he can't come up with 3 days and three nights. Day and a half. We know he was crucified on Wednesday, before the Sabbath of the Holy Day, resurrected on Saturday. When you have God's Spirit, and then you prove this, you don't believe me, you prove it. And if you, and like I say, I know of people that's leave, that's been there a long time, that should have known all this. And yet they say, no, I'm not going to go this way anymore. I want to come closer to Jesus. I want to come closer to God. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the earth. So what does the Holy Spirit do? It opens your mind to what this Bible really says. Angie, which a lot of you know, that she can't make it today. She was going to come, but her mother got sick and she had to go to Lafayette. She was a studied religion from the time she was a child. She went to religious school. She was 38 years old when she met me. She's a massage therapist. And I was all locked up, and I went to her, and she started asking me questions. And I would show her the scripture. Now she comes to church, but she made a comment once. 38 years old, and she said, it's like I've never read the Bible. I mean, you know, I showed her the one verse, no man has ascended to heaven. She said, that's what it says. Well, also it says David has not ascended to the heaven. So when she read it, she seen it, she wanted to follow the book, she started following it. But what so amazes me so much, she said, it's like I never had read the Bible. Now, I look back, I was started to go into church when I was 19 years old. I didn't start to really understand what it meant until I was 35 years old. But I never thought that way. I never thought, well, hey, I never understood this Bible. I still thought I did. I was just learning more. And of course, I did some of it. I did know not to lie, not to steal, not to cheat. In fact, I gave money. Here's another one of these things that gets me in trouble. I gave money to the Methodist Church. They sent me a letter, and I was in the Methodist Church, said, if you give $100 more, you'll get your name on, that we're building a new church, second pew, okay? And I sent them $100. You know, I'd like for people to know that I got my name. I didn't want to get up on the altar. That was a little expensive. But the second booth, you know, I can handle that. And then I got to reading the Bible. And it quoted a scripture that he read in the sermonette. When you give to be seen of man, you already got your reward. But if you don't, you'll be rewarded by God. Well, I don't want to be rewarded by man. I don't want people to see that then. The Bible tells me not to do that. So I went and told them to take my name off of that second pew. And they did. And about a month or so later, somebody came up to me and said, I see you donated all the furniture to Dr. Fridley's room, who was the head pastor. I didn't donate anything to Dr. Fridley's room. So I go down there and there's a plaque on the wall. Gordon Broccoli and Jackie Broccoli donated all this furniture. Take it down. I do not want to be rewarded by men. I want to be rewarded by God. Now, most people that probably donate money, including me, I wasn't giving it to be seen at first, but when I could get my name moved up a shot or two, well, you know, I just sent them another $100. That was second booth and second booth. So, but that's not in my notes either. That's why my sermon might last till 12:30. But they preach, number seven, they preach the gospel of Christ. That's what the churches do. Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. Christ came in preaching about he would return. He didn't come the first time to save the world. I mean, to judge the world. He came to save the world. He's going to come back and judge the world, and everybody will have an opportunity to have salvation. They say you go to heaven. The Bible says you go to your grave. John 3:13, no man has ascended to heaven. Acts 2:34, David is not ascended to the heavens. So, and I can go on and on, but the main thing is I just wanted to show you those different things. So, in conclusion, we start this out in one verse. We should worship the Father first. That's who Jesus worshiped. God sent him to live his life without sin, shed his blood so everybody could offer me salvation. We couldn't have salvation without it. It's a gift of God. So, true worshipers will worship the true God. We'll be worshiping the Father, and we got to do it in spirit, and we got to do it in truth through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said he would send you the Spirit from the Father. So to do that, God the Father has to draw us unto Jesus. Jesus has to shed his blood and wipe away our past sins and then die, which reconciles us to God the Father. Now, when we go in to pray, we're going into the Holy of Holies. In the Old Testament, there was a holy room and there's a Holy of Holies. That's where the high priest went to God. When we go to pray now, and I can show you that verse, the veil of Christ's body torn open. We go into the Holy of Holies. We are on our knees praying to God, and Jesus Christ is sitting on his right hand as our high priest. We're praying to both of them. But we realize that God the Father is the head guy. Jesus is, he's also God. Jesus has shed his blood and wiped it away. To worship him in spirit, God has to open our eyes. He has to dwell with us, and then through his spirit, he will reveal his truth to us. And he said he searches out who he wants to call. If he knows you're not going to follow him, why call? Why punish you? Let you live your life. He'll call you at some time because God's going to give everybody an opportunity. Then we repent and we're baptized and receive the Holy Spirit in us and we have to obey him. I couldn't leave my name. I wasn't in the church yet. Didn't have God's Holy Spirit, but I had God's Spirit working with me. He said, don't do that. Take my name off of the booth. They couldn't think that maybe I'd quit and maybe not give them any more money. And they were right. I did quit and left. But it wasn't because they didn't where they put my name. Then we repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit in us, and then we have to obey him. Then we became the worshipers of God in spirit, with Christ actually living in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will reveal our Lord and our God's spiritual truth to us so we can worship him in spirit and truth.